We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Taking you on a journey for the pursuit of PPC. Welcome to PPC Rockstars. Get ready to rumble through the latest PPC news and views from around the blogosphere. Learn from our host and the PPC pros that will take you to the promised land of PPC profit. We're cashing in the clicks with the PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
Hey, PPC people. It's another episode of PPC Rockstars. And I have on today a friend I've never met, a new guest, first of many, I'm sure. And I'm talking about someone that you've seen if you are, as I am, an efficient PC chat. And that is Mr. Dwayne Brown, who is the founder and head of strategy at Take Some Risk. Greetings, Dwayne.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Is there snow on the ground in Montreal?
Yeah, we have snow. It was a warm Christmas, but about 2 weeks ago it snowed, and now it's a proper full-on winter. We'll probably get 20 centimeters. This weekend, so there might be a blizzard in other parts of the province of Quebec, but we do have snow.
Wow. Well, as you know, we have sand.
which is also good.
It's nice to walk, nicer to walk in barefoot, let's put it that way. So speaking of barefoot, we are going to talk today about a topic that is neglected on my show. And that is life after Facebook. In other words, where do you go when you've tapped out on the other PPC advertising platforms like Google and Microsoft and Facebook? And I'm really anxious to cover these topics because of the fact that I do little or no life after Facebook. So where do you start?
That's a great question. I mean, I think a lot of times clients don't always think about life after Facebook or life after Google. It's like, well, I'm on Google and I'm on Facebook and to some degree I'm on Instagram. Not everybody always knows that Facebook or remembers that Facebook bought Instagram, but they do and they own it. You probably notice it more now because in the last month there's this like, when I opened Instagram, there's a little message that comes up and says, from Facebook. And I'm like, oh, that reminds me that you're owned by Facebook. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. They think it's a good thing, I guess, from Brandon. But for a lot of our clients, you know, we start with either Pinterest or we start with Snap ads, formerly known as Snapchat ads, because they have sort of large, for how long they've been around, large sides of customer base. You know, I think Pinterest has just passed 300 million. I think there's about 210 on Snap, at least since they've updated their numbers. These numbers are probably a good 6 months old since they've updated. You know, sometimes if it's a tech or B2B client, we'll look at like Quora ads. They're around, I think, 300 as well, million people. So that's global numbers as well. So it's not just in America, but I imagine probably half those numbers, maybe more in America, and then maybe like the UK or something like that's the next big country for a lot of these platforms.
So, okay, here's showing my ignorance. So I have the bias that I bet a lot of other advertisers do, which is Pinterest is all women and Snapchat is all teenagers. So convince me I'm wrong.
I don't know if I want to convince you you're wrong. I like that there's less competition and lower CPCs. Having said that, about I think the stat is 15%. It might be 25, but 25%, let's say 25% of Snap users are 25 and older. And let's say 10, 15% are probably 30 and older. And that's a guess on my part. So there's lots of people who are older that have an account. So it isn't just teenagers, you know, 13 to 17, 18 year olds. That is where it started, but there's lots more young people because they've done things like, event or live stream events with like Coachella and other big events that you're not going to see a 13-year-old at because they couldn't get in because they can't drink, let alone get there on their own. Just used to be mostly just women. It's how it started. But now, because they've saturated that market, twice as much men as women are signing up for the platform in the last couple years. 30% of the platform is men. There's a wider demographic. It's not just, you know, teens or tweens or moms. There's anyone from, you know, teenagers all the way up to people 35, 45 on Pinterest. So it is still heavily women, but I think the last that I looked at, it was like 30% more men, and it's growing at a really fast pace, whether it's, you know, straight guys signing up because their wife or fiance wants to do like the wedding planning on a Pinterest board, or gay guys are signing up because they want to like map out their new room after they've gone back from IKEA. So there's definitely picking up on both those areas beyond what people used to think. But I don't want to convince people of that because, like I said, the CPCs are pretty cheap. It's a great source of traffic. It's great if you want to do like remarketing, you know, even if you just open an account just to remarket to your customers who have already been to your website to remind them of their brand when they're on those platforms, it's a great place to be because, and I don't know how accurate this is, but Snap says 38% of people who go on the Snap don't open the Instagram app on any given day or something like that. It's a weird stat, but it basically says like lots of people use Snap who wouldn't necessarily use Instagram on a regular basis. So they're great platforms to be on, and I love them.
Okay. Let's start with Pinterest. Does Pinterest have a self-serve platform, advertising platform?
Yeah, they both do. So I'll be the first one to admit it. I tell my Pinterest account team this all the time. Ad manager on Pinterest is like the ad manager on Facebook. It's clunky. It's broken. I had an issue for a week last week. I just got really fed up with the platform. There's no offline ads manager. So you need to go in prepared to like have to work a little bit harder than you would if you're in like, you know, Google or something like that. But it's self-serve. You can spend as much or as little as you want. There's a pixel. There's tons of targeting, you know, keywords, interests. There's, you know, carousel ads, video ads. There's static pins. You could do retargeting or remarketing depending on what school of paid ads you come from. So all the stuff is there. The ad manager just breaks sometimes, which is frustrating.
Yeah, I guess so. So when you say the CPCs are lower, how would you compare them to Google's for keywords, for example? Are they half the price, quarter the price?
Yeah, they could be like half the price. You know, they could be less than that sometimes. You know, obviously it depends on who you're going after. So one of the big demographics on Pinterest are parents. So if you're like me and you've got a lot of brands that target parents, well, you're probably going to pay a bit more than if you're going to target, you know, single people or college, university students and things of that nature. But even still, even if that's a competitive niche, it's still cheaper than what you'd pay on Facebook. But obviously people are going to go, well, Facebook's 3 billion people now. And that's great, but, you know, most brands are not going to have 3 billion people as customers. They're only going to have a slice of Facebook customers. And so, like, how big is your Facebook user customer base versus the 300 million people you could get on Pinterest or any other platform? And, of course, 300 million is not all your customers, but there's still probably a large enough base there that you could do something meaningful on the platform.
So what kinds of companies or industries would do well on Pinterest as opposed to, well, would do well on Pinterest, period?
I'm glad you asked that question. So there's a few. So like really popular searches are on retail, auto, food, home, travel, beauty and fashion. So if you're kind of in those verticals or areas, you'd probably want to be on the platform. You know, some good examples would be, I hate bringing them up because they're like a really shitty company, but there's like Away Luggage. You know, they don't treat the customer service really people really well, but they do have a really good Pinterest board. Like it's focused on like the slant of travel and how you want to like live your best life possible. And so other brands like Allbirds has a board on like the environment and things of that nature. So there's lots of good brands, and there are lots of things people search for, whether it's like, you know, beauty routines or recipes. Like I Google a lot of stuff when it comes to recipes, and Pinterest comes up a lot in SERP. If you Google like travel stuff, you know, it will come up because people upload pins and stuff like that related to food and travel.
Gotcha. Speaking of travel, we have a group of traveling sponsors who need to get their messages in front of our listeners. So Dwayne, could you please stay with us, and listeners, don't go away.
PPC Rockstars. We'll be back after we click through our sponsors.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
It passes before it's noticed. A slight rising of the eyebrows, a widening of the eyes. It may be accompanied by an almost imperceptible inhalation. The heart adds a beat like a quiet exclamation point on the experience. Within a tenth of a second, the reaction has passed, but not without leaving its mark. Someone found what they're looking for. Does your website deliver impulses to act? It can. Intended Consequences is the podcast for digital marketers who see their job as changing hearts and minds. If you're frustrated, bored, or in a rut, it's time to spread your wings with me, Brian Massey, and my guests. Find out how successful, curious, creative, and data-driven marketers are making a difference on purpose. Visit intendedpodcast.com or find us where you get your podcasts. Intended Consequences, marketing on purpose.
LPO, landing page optimization, where we make marketers great. Using design, data, psychology, and attitude. Join our host, Brian Massey, best known as the Conversion Scientist, as he sits down with leading marketers to help you create campaigns that deliver. LPO, only on webmasterradio.fm.
The pursuit of PPC continues. Welcome back to PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
And we are back with Dwayne Brown of Take Some Risk. What a great name. How did you come up with that name?
Well, it took me a couple weeks, actually. And I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, where I've gone, where I've been, where I want to go. You know, what thread has gone through my life. And, you know, grammatically, you'd say take a risk, but that means in life you'd only take one risk usually. And I realize I've taken lots of you know, big and small risks, some smarter than others to get to where I am. And I also wanted clients to take some risks. Sometimes we sign clients, especially I think sometimes the bigger brands, and they're like, we want this and this and this. And then like you propose ideas and then they don't want to get outside of their comfort zone. And so I often tell clients, the reason I name it Take Some Risk is because if we're in a plane and we're going to jump out of that plane with our parachutes, I want you to grab my hand and make the jump. And I've never skydived before, but the analogy still works because you've got to take some risks to get to where you are in life. You can't just like do one thing, stop, and then continue doing that thing, expect to grow as a business. You've got to try different ad creative, different targeting, different messaging, different ad platforms, or sometimes even just like stop advertising on an ad platform because you don't think it's actually helping your business incrementally or directly.
I hear you. And judging by the number of places you've lived, I guess you've taken some risks.
Yeah, totally.
So back to Pinterest. Have you ever tried B2B offers on Pinterest?
I have not. Not because I don't want to, just no clients had the budget yet. They're usually still trying to max out, you know, Google, Microsoft, Quora, Facebook, Instagram.
Right.
But it's definitely something I would consider if I thought it made sense.
That would be very interesting. I'd love to let me know if you have experience with that. We'll bring you back on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, like, we had a client that used to sell, like, toys and products for people who are on, like, the spectrum or have autism. They had a B2B side of their business, but they were heavily e-commerce in terms of volume, obviously, like volume of sales, even though the majority of the revenue obviously came from B2B because they would sell to occupational therapists and things of that nature. And we did a bit on Pinterest, but not like from an organic perspective, and definitely just going after more parents and stuff.
Gotcha.
Definitely something I wanted to try.
So what do you know now about Pinterest advertising that you wish you had known before? Like,
That's a good question.
Like areas of the interface to avoid, buttons you shouldn't push because you'll get in trouble.
Yeah, so I think the big thing is there's like a mysterious click thread at Pinterest. So if you've got a campaign or an ad group and you're getting a bit of traffic, but then one day you come in and you see there's tons of traffic, it's like basically you hit this special click through rate which opens up the faucets of Pinterest and you get more traffic. So I always tell people, you know, check your campaign once a day just to make sure there wasn't a spike at any point, because the Pinterest team don't necessarily talk about it and they won't tell you what this black box is, but like the better your click through rate with quality traffic, the more traffic you'll get. So that's probably the big thing. And I think because I spend, you know, 80% of our clients are e-commerce, I spend a lot of time thinking about shopping, and you can do shopping on Pinterest now, you can do shopping on Snap as well, is that if you've ever had problems with Google's Merchant Center or, you know, Microsoft vis-a-vis Bing's Merchant Center, the Pinterest Merchant Center, good or bad, is really easy. It's like, I thought it would be more complicated. And I guess it's one of those things like you've never done it before, so you overcomplicate the situation in your mind, but it was really easy to set up.
Interesting.
Those are two things I wish I knew. It's not a fancy merchant center. It's not like anything you get at Google. It's like super basic, as is the ad manager as a whole, but it's really easy to set up.
Does it take the same feed?
Yes. So there are a few attributes that are a little bit different. How they break out the kids attribute on Pinterest is a little bit different than how they do it on other platforms, but 99% of what you push out to Google, you can push out to Pinterest. You know, as an example, like we got a client who was already on Pinterest, and we took the Pinterest feed, which is already taken from Facebook, and we just put that in the Snap, and it worked right away. We didn't have to change anything. And that makes sense because everyone's just trying to basically duplicate what Google's feed is, all things being equal at 99%, so people can just port their feed over and get up and running really quickly. You know, it's like Microsoft. They make it easy to import stuff from Google because they want you to be on their platform and they don't want any roadblocks.
Gotcha. So, okay, what is exactly the difference between the Google feed and the Pinterest feed? And I don't mean, you know, field by field, but do you have to add fields to the Google feed for Pinterest, or do you subtract them, or what do you do?
No, you just have to tweak one field. So there's a field where you can break out like a kid's attribute. So like in Google, it's like babies and kids, but on Pinterest it's a little more granular than that, so you just got to rename it so it works with their system. But other than that, and that's only if you're going to have like kids products, obviously, other than that, it works 100%. You don't have to change anything. It's super smooth.
Gotcha. And then for Snap, does it take the Google feed verbatim, or do you have to make changes to it?
So we pulled our feed from Facebook that the client had, and it took it 100%. There wasn't any changes. You could obviously add stuff if you wanted to, because I did see a couple of attributes you could add on the Snap FAQ. And the Snap ads FAQ section is actually really well built out. It's aesthetically beautiful, but it's also really informative. Like, one thing I didn't know until, you know, a couple of weeks ago was that, you know, most ad platforms will attribute the sale to when someone clicked on an ad, but Snap attributes the sale to the day the sale happened. And that's super interesting. I don't know why they did that change, which is very different from other ad platforms, but it's an interesting tip to know.
Certainly. Okay, well, let's segue into Snap. What is it? So they have a self-serve platform. I'm trying to, I've used Snapchat, and I'm trying to imagine where the ads appear. Where do the ads appear? Or how do they appear?
That is, it depending on who makes the ad, the ads can look really native, and you may not know what you're looking at as an ad. So ads appear everywhere. There is the story ads, which appear in the Discovery section. So Discovery is like the news and TV show that's curated by the Snap team, so entertainment content. There are Snap ads, which appear between people's stories they've published, like your friends and things of that nature. And those two are different inventories. So if you advertise and use a story ad, or you advertise and use a Snap ad, you're not going to be in the other section. So a Snap ad can't be in Discovery, and a story ad can't be in the other section. So that's important to know. Like if you want to cover both stories and Discovery section, you've got to advertise both a Snap ad and a story ad. And then beyond that, you've got, and this is still in beta, but they announced you've got almost like dynamic product ads. So if you're familiar with Facebook, it's very similar to that. It's the carousel of your products from shopping.
Right.
You've got carousel ads as well, which again is very similar, or I should say collection ads, which is very similar to Facebook. But again, that's in beta, so you've got to have like an account manager to get access to it. But they've announced it, and they're trying to make it better because they realize, as I think we all realize, you know, one thing about our industry, if you want clients who spend money, always spend money, always want to try new things, like e-commerce is the way to go because they always need help. They always want to try new things. They always want to stay ahead of the competition so they can like take more market share.
Gotcha. Well, I have the same question about Snapchat as I did for Pinterest. What do you know now that you wish you had known when you started?
Yeah, so the big one that I think everyone needs to know, and I'm actually going to be at SMX West in February to talk about this, is, you know, a lot of ad platforms, you know, if you sign up for Facebook or whatever, you might pick your objective as like a purchase conversion, or you might do like a sales catalog. But on Snap, because of the way the system was built and the way the platform was built, you've got to actually get what is called a swipe up. So if you're in the app and you're looking at somebody's story, usually you swipe up to like basically click a CTA to go to, you know, their profile or a landing page or a website. So you have to get 50 swipe ups on your initial campaign over a 7-day rolling period to actually unlock the purchase objective. And then you've got to duplicate your ad sets and then change the objective to purchase. So that's something a lot of brands don't really know or realize. That and like the conversion attributed to the day the sale happened makes it a unique platform. But if you've got a great product, it appeals to the demo, whether it's the under 25 or the over 25, depending on what you sell, you can get 50 swipe ups in 7 days. It's not that hard. It's pretty achievable.
Gotcha. Hey, speaking of swipe ups, we have to swipe up to reveal some sponsors for two of our shows. So, Dwayne, hold on, and listeners, stay with us.
PPC Rockstars. We'll be back after we click through our sponsors.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.FM and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
The pursuit of PPC continues. Welcome back to PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
We are back in the home stretch with Dwayne Brown of Take Some Risks. And Dwayne, let's spend the remaining time talking a little bit more about you.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
That's cool. We can.
Okay. You have been speaking for very long. Where can people see you besides SMX West, did you say?
Yeah, so in February I'll be at SMX West, which is in San Jose. Sorry, if I pronounced it incorrectly.
Not a problem.
I've never been there, but I heard it's a cute city.
It is.
So that's all I have right now for this year. I'm trying to. Compared to the last 2 years where friends were like, where are you right now? You're never at home in Canada. You're always in some far-flung city or country. I'm trying to travel less this year to speak at conferences, but spend more time with our clients, like in their office, on-site, talking, thinking, noodling, working with them.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to be in New York at the end of February to talk with a couple clients we have down there. I'm going to Toronto at the end of this month to talk to one of our clients we have there, you know, because I want... You know, A, it's always good to meet clients face-to-face. I think it's great. It builds a better relationship. Also, you get to learn things you probably wouldn't learn if you just do, like, lots of phone calls and Zoom calls and things of that nature. So I don't have anything else booked for the year, but okay. I'd love to do, Hero Conference is a big conference for our people, David, obviously. So I'd love to do Hero Conference London at the end of the year. So I pitched that. So I won't know probably for another 6 months, but that's my big European trip for the year. Otherwise, I think it's just going to be like North America. So SMX East, I'll probably pitch again this year because I had fun last year. Maybe I'll pitch like State of Search potentially, which is in Texas, I think.
Right. I do that one. So I look forward to seeing you there if you do.
Yeah, I'm going to pitch that. I spoke in 2016 and I had a good time. So I'm definitely going to try to spend a bit more time in North America with our clients and speak at, you know, 3 or 4 conferences. And make it the best darn talk I ever gave.
Right. Hey, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot, and I always say, like, go on Twitter, because I spend obscene amounts of time on Twitter. So you could go and find Dwayne Brown on Twitter, and Dwayne is spelled D-U-A-N-E, and then Brown like the color. That's one way. I'm pretty active on that. You could just go to takesomerisk.com, and we've got like a Drift app, and there's an email, and there's a form field you could fill out. You can email it back to you like during the week, usually within a few hours, or if it's after hours, the next day. So those are probably the best two ways. I sometimes have people randomly add me to LinkedIn, and I don't like to add people I don't know to LinkedIn or I've never met in person, because it's weird personally. Kind of like people when they add you on Facebook, I'm like, I don't know you. I mean, maybe I know your husband or your wife or... Like we work together, but you're just a random person to me that I really don't know, and I really don't want to add you.
Right, I get that pretty frequently. So, takesomerisk.com, not take some risks. So, when you're looking for Dwayne, don't use an S on risk.
And David, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
And let's see, what else should we know about you and your company?
Yeah, so I mean, we just focus on paid ads. So whether it's Google, Microsoft, Facebook, you know, Pinterest and Snap is what we've talked about, and obviously Instagram. And the other big service is like conversion rate optimization. So like interviewing customers and trying to figure out why they're buying your product. So a great example actually is we went to Toronto end of November for a big sort of arts and crafts show that happens in Toronto. And my client said it was a big event, but I didn't realize like how big it was in terms of like how much revenue it drives. I went to it as a kid, so I'm familiar with it, but I'm like, oh, I didn't realize you actually make this kind of money at this event. But I went and, you know, I met my client in person for the first time. And then I also just talked with some people who bought the product, and they sell, I don't think they're expensive. I own a pair. 99% of what we sell is for women, but they sell bamboo PJs. And so I just started talking to women and be like, you know, why are you buying? Why do you like about it? And one of the women said something really interesting to me. And she's like, you know, I some clothes give me, you know, iration or rashes and stuff like that. And so I buy because it's bamboo and it's really comfortable on my skin and I don't get rashes. I don't break out in hives and stuff. And I found that really interesting.
Nice.
And I never would have known that if I didn't talk to a customer. And so now we're figuring out, how do we add that into our ad copy? How do we target potentially Facebook groups or things where people have these issues to like broaden our reach of who we're going after? And so the fifth thing we do is just CRO and trying to learn and better understand customers so we can write better ad copy, build better landing pages if we're doing them in Unbound, so just change the copy on the website. And then some people just hire us to do like strategy consultants, like, oh, we want to keep our execution in-house because we have someone or we have another agency, but we think they're just okay and we want someone to like whip them into shape. And so we'll just consult and stuff and give people my opinion, which I think is interesting because I sometimes find people will pay you, you know, $250 American an hour, but then they don't take your advice. I'm like, why am I here? I mean, I like the money, don't get me wrong, but like, you're not taking my advice and that doesn't seem like the best thing for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, get used to it. I'm sorry to say. Anyway, that's going to be our last word. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. The fact that it went quickly is a good sign. So thank you for your insight and look forward to next time you're on.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
Anytime. And listeners, thanks for hanging with us. Come back in a couple of weeks for another episode of PPC Rockstars.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.